We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
Tonight I'm going to preach on some foundation scripture from the Word that I believe is absolutely essential for every single believer, whether you're going into Bible school or whether you've been a Christian for 10 years and you've already been through Bible school or whether you just got saved. It's important to know this, the Word that I'm going to share tonight, and I believe that God is going to do something in your lives. So, if you would open your Bible here to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11. Now, these verses here are really fun. These verses, they're just like, let's just read them, you'll see what I mean. There is so much more we would like to say about this, but it is difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. I read this and I'm like, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. But I read that and I was like, Brother Paul, we assume that Paul is the one that wrote Hebrews. Most scholars agree that he was the author of the book. But I read that and I was like, man, that's kind of harsh. I mean, let me read that again, that last part, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. Let's go on reading here. You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's Word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature. Say mature. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. Solid food is for those who are mature and who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. This is our Rochester Bible Institute kickoff week, and I believe that I am addressing people that are mature, that God is maturing, that God is calling you to become mature in the things of God. Whether you're mature or not tonight, I believe that God has a plan for you to raise you up into maturity, into the things of God. I'll tell you, when I went to Bible school, I was very far from the definition of the word mature. I was very immature. I mean, I loved God. I had a passion for Him. But man, I did some stupid things. Let me just tell you one of these stupid things that I did during Bible school. I mean, it's just ridiculous looking back at why I would do this now. But we had this conference, and I was serving in the Kitchen Helps ministry. I mean, we would cook for all the ministers coming in that came in from all over the place. And so by the end of the week, the dumpster had been so overfilled with trash. I mean, like trash bags. They piled up these trash bags at the dumpster was like piled up way high. It was like a mountain, so much so that the trash bags were then like cascading down onto the ground, trash bags all around. The whole dumpster area was just full. And I just thought this just looks ridiculous. So I snapped a picture of it on my phone, and then believe it or not, but it was your husband once again who convinced me to get into some trouble. And we were looking at this picture and I posted it on Facebook, and we talked each other into it, of course, though, on my Facebook page, that we were going to tag like everybody that we knew. I mean, tagging had just come out back then, but we tagged, so we just thought this would be funny. We were going to tag everybody that we could in this photo of this dumpster. So when I tagged everybody, I tagged the dean of the Bible school, the teachers in the Bible school, all my friends. I tagged like everybody that I could. And because I just thought like this was really funny, I wasn't implying that I was calling everybody trash, but I think that's the way that people took it. And so when I thought about it later on, I was like, man, why would you do something so stupid? But like I said, when I went to Bible school, I was very far from mature. I used to just do dumb things because I don't know why. I mean, I liked just messing around with stuff. When we first got down to Bible school, once again, your husband, we got ourselves into some interesting situations, but there was this runoff pond where the water would run off into the apartment complex where we live, and it was right next to the pool, and we would go down to the pool. Let me tell you another story about the pool in just a minute. But we would go down by there, and we saw that an alligator lived in this runoff pond. And we're, you know, a couple Western New York boys. We've never seen an alligator in the wild before, so we thought, man, this poor little alligator, somebody's got to feed him something. And so, you know, we go back to our apartment and we're looking for what we could do for this little guy. I mean, he's about 5-6 feet long. He wasn't, I mean, maybe 7 at the most. He wasn't that big, but big enough that you wouldn't want him to get a hold of you. Anyway, so we go back and we look in our fridge, and there was this big ham. It was a ham steak. It's probably about an inch thick, about this big around. And we're like, we come down to the pond, And we put it on this stick. Actually, this time, Brian was the one who put it on the stick, and I was the one documenting. Just in case he did get his arm ripped off, I wanted to make sure I had it on camera. So he puts it on the stick, and he's like reaching it out in front of this alligator. And I don't know if he'd just been sucking up the juices from that drainage pipe for too long, and his brain had kind of started to melt, but we put this ham right in front of him, and he wouldn't bite it. Finally, like, we put it in his mouth, like, literally set it down in his mouth, and, like, he still didn't bite it. We, like, wiggled it around. Finally, he just snatches down on this thing, and just, like, in an instant, just, like, it's like he thought it was alive and it was fighting him or something, but he just, like, tore this thing to shreds. So, I mean, just stupid stuff that we did. I'm telling you, I was very immature when I went to Bible school. If anybody here needed to go to Bible school as an 18-year-old guy, it was me. So the pool, I told you I was going to tell you the story about the pool. I mean, this one isn't as exciting, but we had bought these mag lights. And, you know, they say mag lights, they're, rated to be able to go underwater. And we thought, well, we got to be able to test this. So at night, you know, the pool is closed, it's locked up, but we go down there, of course, like good Bible school students would, learning how to obey all the rules, jump the fence, and we go in the water, and, you know, of course, we've got our flashlights going, and we're like, this is pretty cool, but it wasn't cool enough. So then what we did was, I mean, the whole pool was surrounded in deck furniture. Like, I mean, like, you know, the kind you lay out, you got tables, chairs, lounge chairs, everything. Well, everything went into the pool. We put it all into the pool, and we created ourselves this underwater maze. So we're like now using our mag lights, and we're just swimming around. I'm telling you, the things that I did, I don't understand. I don't know what we did. Then we had our one roommate. All right. If you guys were to know him, you would understand why we did this. But we basically, I don't know if hazing is the right term, but I feel like we hazed him, you know. So, I mean, we did all kinds of things. He's just the kind of guy that you spend a couple minutes talking to him, and I don't know how. He doesn't even have to say that much, though he did. But he just rubs you the wrong way, and you just feel like this guy needs something done to him. So, I mean, so one night, he was out on the phone. I mean, he's calling his mom. He talked to his mom like every night for like an hour or two every night. I mean, come on, you're asking for trouble when you have to call, you're 18, 19 years old and you go to college and you're living with three other guys and you're talking to your mom every night for an hour or two. So he's out on the back porch. It's nighttime, probably 10 o'clock. And we're like, we locked the door to the back. It's a porch, and like to get down off the ground, it was probably about 10 feet high. And so we locked the sliding glass door to the back porch, and we're waiting for him. We're like, when's this dude going to get off the phone with his mom? But he didn't. And so, again, this was Brian and I got ourselves into this situation. But so Brian all of a sudden has to use the restroom. So he goes upstairs to use the restroom, and I'm sitting there, and then I'm thinking, well, I could probably use the restroom too. So then I go use the downstairs restroom. So Brian and I are both in the restroom when all of a sudden we just hear this smashing. We hear this loud banging on the back door, and we just realize something really bad is happening back there. So, you know, had to hurry up as quick as we could, and we when we finally get back there, he is in a rage of fury, just like taking his fist and like, it's a glass door. We thought the whole thing was about to break. He is pounding this glass door as hard as he could. And just like going, and he came in, he went berserk on us. I mean, just totally went wild on us. But once again, that was because I was very immature and I had not really, you know, I was just beginning Bible school and I was still learning how to mature in the things of God. But I didn't learn very quickly. So what else did I do to him? One night he was sleeping on the couch. And I mean, we all had bedrooms, so there was no reason for him to fall asleep on the couch when, you know, we were all still hanging around talking and, you know, goofing around and whatever. And here he is sleeping on the couch. And I don't know why, but he slept with his mouth like this. So you don't present, you know, your manly Bible school roommates with such an opportunity. So we had to figure out something to do. So, you know, we decided, well, let's just pack his mouth full of salt and see what happens. So we got a full tablespoon of just regular salt. And like, we had to wait until he kind of like turned his head so his head was like up so it could catch it all. And we just dumped it all in there. I'm telling you, like, it took him a second, but he woke up and he was like swinging for us. Like, he just went wild on us. It's funny, like, I really only intended to tell you guys that first story, but as I started to tell you one story, it led to another one. I'll tell you one more. And honestly, this isn't really actually helping, you know, my sermon is probably, you know, hindering it. So we had our back porch, and it was at night, and we had our roommate, he had bought a grill, and so he had the grill on the back porch, and we used to get, they had this food ministry back down there where they would get free food donated to the church, and, you know, if you were poor like most Bible school students were when we first came down there, we would go to the ministry, and they would give us a box of food, and in these boxes of food, I'd say about 50% of it was unedible or inedible. You didn't want it. So we had like cans, like our food pantry was just full of all this canned food. So we decided, well, let's just use some of this canned food that we're probably never going to eat. So we got the grill going on the back. It was probably, this is now 11 p.m. to midnight, somewhere in that time frame. Got that grill going. And then we took a can of tomato sauce. Big, like one of those big ones, you know what I'm talking about. And we set that big can right up on the grill, and we just sat there, and I told you, we had the big sliding glass door, and so, I mean, if you picture, the sliding glass door is probably about three-quarters of this pew wide at least, maybe the whole thing. No, about three-quarters of this pew, and we're just, and the grill's like right here, and we're just sitting here watching it and like waiting for something to happen. Finally, you know, I mean, 10 minutes go by and nothing happens, so we pull up our chairs, and now we're sitting here on chairs just behind, you know, sitting at the door watching, and now it's about midnight, and just when we think nothing's going to happen, the entire can exploded. And I'm telling you, tomato sauce didn't just cover our porch. It covered the windows, it covered the back walls, and it covered the neighbors' back walls. It covered the neighbors' porches. It covered everything. And so so now at midnight, we had to get our hose out, and we're walking around like we're first trying to clean our porch off, and now we're on our neighbor's porch. We snuck over and we got the hose, and we're having to clean our neighbor's porch, hoping that they won't find out what happened. Completely ridiculous. That back porch, that area, just like by the time we were done with that place in 1 year, you didn't really want to walk back there. There was this tree on right behind. I'll tell you one more. There's this tree. It was like right on the back side of, you know, I mean, there's the back porch, and then about 10 feet past the back porch, there was just this fence, and which was the edge of the property, and there was this big oak tree right behind it. And so that oak tree became the tree that we used in order to throw all of the garbage food that we didn't want to eat. So we're like, every time like we'd get some bad food or whatever, things would go bad, we would throw our bad food at that tree, until finally that tree was like, I don't know, it attracted all kinds of creatures to it. There would be like raccoons crawling all over that thing. I mean, just about everything. And then one day, once again, Brian, he had gone spearfishing and caught some of these, oh, I forget what kind of fish they were, but these big grouper, She remembers. This story was hard to forget. But so he caught some groupers, and he was fully intending to clean it, but we had a conference going on, and the conferences down there were so busy that he forgot to clean the groupers, and this was a cooler, just like one of those styrofoam coolers, not the real good ones, just the cheap ones, and it's on the back porch, and after about 4 or 5 days, those fish smelled so bad, you could smell it all the way at the front of the apartment building when you drove up and just parked out in front of the property. That stench just hit you right in the face. I mean, I'm telling you, like, we did the dumbest stuff. One last one. I'm telling you, we were just kind of immature.
Really?
We drove over the irrigation spigot in the front of the property, and so rather than fix it, you know, we just noticed that every time that the irrigation would come on, because we knocked the head off, it shot about a 30-foot geyser straight up into the air. So every morning, or every, you know, so few hours when the irrigation comes on, morning and evening, rather than like call maintenance and let them know we had a problem, we just put our swimsuits on and go out and play in this massive geyser. I mean, and it's like in this like nice, you know, townhouse area. Man, we just did some wild things there. I could probably tell you a few more, but I'll get back to what I should be talking about. So this scripture here was very fitting for me when I first went to Bible school, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. You see, when I went to Bible school, I was spiritually hungry, but I was also spiritually dull. I was not the smartest of the group. I was hungry. I knew that God had this plan for me, but God still had a lot of stuff that he wanted to work out in me. I'm telling you, Bible school works on your character in every way. I'll give you one example of something that I did that was very stupid, and then the Lord really rebuked me, and I got caught doing something that was really bad, and I learned a lot from this lesson. I was backing out of my car. This is first year Bible school. I was backing out in my car. I had a Mazda Protege, 1998, I think it was. And I mean, I bought this car when I was in high school, and I liked this car. And as I'm backing out of the driveway, I backed up into my neighbor's car, who had parked it on the street, really where he wasn't supposed to be. And me being in Bible school, you know, full of the Holy Spirit and full of, you know, God's goodness and understanding all the complexities of God's Word, I decided, of course, to do the right thing, you would think. Wrong. What I did was, instead of actually, pulling over, going up, knocking on the guy's house, saying, hey, I'm sorry, I bumped your car, let me exchange insurance information with you, and, you know, we'll get this thing taken care of, I actually tried to hide my car so that he wouldn't find the dent on my car to realize that my car was the one that backed up in it. So when I came home that day, I pulled my car into the driveway, and then I had Brian park his car like right up next to mine. Actually, what I did was I parked down the street. That's what I did. I parked all the way down the street where the pool was, and I walked about a quarter mile to get back to the house so that nobody would see that. And I mean, like, you know, here I am learning about, you know, the scriptures and learning how to go into ministry and handle yourself, and here I am trying to cover up this thing that I did wrong. And so I parked my car down there, and I think, good, nobody's going to find out about this. I'm in the clear, parked my car. Nobody saw me do it. But then what happened was, I don't remember what the situation was. I think it was Brian. I think he actually had to use my car for one reason or another. And so he walked back down to where I had parked it, got my car, used my car, and then when he was done, parked it back in our driveway. So the next morning, when I come out and I'm like, oh no, there's my car. And then, oh no, here in my windshield wiper was this napkin that was, you know, that had the phone number to this guy on there, and it said, I couldn't read all of it because, you know, the dew had gotten it wet and you barely could read it. But all I knew was that I had gotten found out, and that even though I tried to hide my mistake, there's a scripture that I learned very well from this, that it says that your sin will find you out, and that you're better off just taking care of something right from the beginning rather than trying to cover up your mistakes. And I'm glad I learned that in first year Bible school than having to learn this, you know, years down the road. But so, you know, I called up the guy and I was like, hey, yep, it was me. Yeah, I'm really sorry. Why don't you come over? And we squared things away. I was like, what do you want? And he's like, you know, I'll take like $200 cash. You know, he's Hispanic. And he said, oh, I got a guy that can fix it. Hispanic guys always got a guy that can fix it, you know? So, am I right, Sori? Right? Cheap, too. She knows what I'm talking about. You know? So he had his guy, and he fixed it. And I was like, look, you know what? I felt bad about the situation, so I said, look, here's an extra $100. Gave him $300, and I figured, you know, I did the right thing. But I learned that it's better off, you know? And, like, it was one of those things where I could hardly sleep at night because, like, I felt such guilt on my conscience. And I learned it's not worth having guilt on your conscience and not being able to get a good night's sleep. It's better off just being able to just do what the right thing is to do, even if you have to fess up to a mistake, even if it's going to cost you something from your bank account or cost you something from what you have in order to have a clear conscience towards God. You're better with a clear conscience with God and with your neighbors than an extra $300 in your bank, right? And so Bible school for me, I was 18 years old going down there, and this was my first time being out on my own, and I was learning a lot of these lessons. I was learning how to grow up in the things of God. You know, one of the things that I learned was, and you see, Bible school, it deals with your character. You're not just being taught the word on Sunday mornings anymore, but you're being continually taught the word of God. And the Bible, you know, it brings conviction. And you hear this teaching and you hear about living right and you hear about doing the right thing and you hear about how to treat your family and you hear all this stuff. And it begins to shave off those jagged edges that are on your life. And many Christians, you know, even though they're going to heaven, even though they're saved and they love Jesus, it's like this Bible verse that says they're spiritually dull and they cannot handle the mature word. And we're all called to be mature. We're all called to live a lifestyle that is fully pleasing to God. We read that last night. And so God begins to work on you as you begin to put yourself in an environment where you can be saturated in the presence of God, filled up with the Word of God, and you're hearing anointed teaching that brings conviction in your life, and you learn, I need to change these areas in my life. You know, prior to going down to Bible school, I've shared before how I used to be very angry as a teenager, and just about anything could set me off really quick. And you know, that was even after being saved. You know, sometimes you get saved and not everything gets worked out right away. Some of you guys have found that out. Others, you know, I can see your halos right now. You got saved and everything. You know, you just became perfect. But so, my wife says amen. But so I'm down there and I had a relationship problem with my dad. My dad and I, we couldn't talk for probably, I don't know, this is my mom in the front row here. I don't know if you remember, how long could we talk to each other before we would end up in an argument? I would say probably about 60 seconds tops. 2 minutes. Didn't matter what we were talking about. You just pick a topic. You could talk about what's for lunch. 60 seconds to 2 minutes later, we are like shouting at each other. Two, you know, spirit-filled Christians shouting at each other because just about anything. It didn't matter what we were talking about. And so I was in Bible school under this anointed teaching, sitting in the presence of God, being filled up with the Holy Spirit, and the Lord began to convict me about my lifestyle and the way I'd been treating my father. And so it was towards the end of my first year of Bible school that I had finally, you know, endured this conviction long enough, and I thought that my dad owed me an apology, you know, for you know, instigating, you know, me arguing with him. But finally, I realized, you know what? I'm going to call my dad and I'm going to apologize. I didn't, you know, at the time when I did that, I thought that I was right and he was wrong. But I realized, regardless, I'm going to do what I know is the right thing to do. So I called back home and I said, hey, I called my dad Abba. I was born in Israel, so it's Hebrew for father. So I called my dad Abba. And so I said, Abba, look, I'm sorry for the way that I've disrespected you over the years. I'm sorry that, you know, I shout at you and I argue with you and I fight with you. And I just want to say, you know, I apologize for all the years of my disrespect and the way that I've treated you wrongly. And when I did that, a huge burden lifted off of my life. And I realized then that I was wrong, that I was wrong for the way that I'd been treating him. You know, sometimes the best... Here's the key to the kingdom. The way up is down. You have to humble yourself. You want to go forward with the kingdom of God. You want to do big things with God. I admire that. But many times the way forward is that you actually have to humble yourself. And when you know that somebody else is wrong, sometimes like you just don't even acknowledge the fact that they did something terrible to you, and you just actually apologize for your part in it. You know, even if that person was 99% wrong, and you had that 1% that you could have done something better, you call them up, you talk to them, and you say, look, I want to apologize to you for this thing that I've done to you. And the Bible says that a soft answer turns away wrath. And so even if that person is 99% angry with you, and they're angry, and you apologize for that one little thing that you did, they'll be blown away. They'll be like, really? You're apologizing to me? Actually, I've been the one feeling that I should apologize to you. But they probably never, ever would have apologized to you unless you actually apologized for the one little thing that you did wrong. And I've found that it's better to just be straightforward and just apologize. You know, I don't know what's going on. I don't think it's my fault. Maybe it is, but I'm just going to say sorry anyway. And that's humbling yourself. It's not fun to say, hey, I'm sorry for what I did to you. I'm sorry for being wrong. I'm sorry for treating you wrongly, especially if they're the ones that you really know they did you wrong. It's not fun to do that. But you see, God fights your battles for you. The problem and the reason why God doesn't fight many people's battles for them is they're too busy trying to fight their battle for themselves. But part of growing up spiritually, part of growing up in the things of God and maturing is letting Him fight your battle for you. You know, your spouse, you get into an argument and disagreement, and of course you're right. I mean, I'm always right. Whenever Julie and I, whenever we have something that we disagree on, it goes without saying. You don't even have to know the facts. Just trust me, I'm right. And as right as I may be, the situation never ends very well, even if I'm able to prove that I'm right. By the time I got done, you know, telling her how I know that I'm right, she doesn't care that I'm right. She's just mad that I'm proving that I'm right. Am I right? See, I told you. Always right. You get so much further if you would just say, sweetheart, I'm sorry for the way that I spoke to you. I'm sorry for talking to you wrongly and not listening to you and not taking into consideration your perspective. You get so much further. And even when we know that, sometimes we just go right back at it one more time and just to prove that we're right. And then you just realize all over again, all right, I'm sorry, you're right. I'm sorry. I should just listen to you. But look, you grow up in the things of God and you learn that it's better just to forgive, it's better to apologize, it's better to be quick to repent. Amen? So these verses here are really fun. It says especially that, I mean, we want to talk to you about the deep truths of God is really what it's saying, but we can't, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. If you're just joining us, we're in Hebrews chapter 5. We're reading down, starting in verse 11. Solid food, in verse 14, solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. See, you see, there is training involved here. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. It's through training. And this is, like I said, we believe to be Paul speaking here. And he's talking about training. He's talking about being discipled. He's talking about being raised up and having someone that's able to impart into your life and to speak into your life and to train you in the things of God. And even allowing God to train you through His Holy Spirit. But there is training involved in becoming mature in the things of God. You see, when I was a teenager, and I even shared my story last night about how I felt called to God, I thought that if I went to go to Bible school, it would just going to be this religious experience. And, you know, if I really wanted to go into ministry, this was prior to me watching that video about Bible school and learning that there actually are Spirit-filled ministries out there and Spirit-filled Bible schools. I thought that Bible school was what made you religious and boring. And I thought the real ministers are the ones who don't go to Bible school, are the ones who just, you know, they don't need training, but they just follow the Holy Spirit and follow the Holy Spirit. I don't need anyone to tell me anything. I'm just going to follow the Lord and follow the Holy Spirit. That's what I thought. And there's a lot of people that still think that today. There's a lot of people that will actually never grow into maturity because they're not willing to submit themselves to the training process. You see, training is a process. And when you're going through that process and you're getting those rough edges knocked off of you, it's not always fun. You heard the story about the garbage bags that I just told you, right? That I posted that picture, tagged all my friends. They all tagged the dean of the Bible school, tagged everybody. It was not fun when I got a message from the dean of the Bible school, who was one of the men of God that I looked up to the most in my life at the time and still do. Great man of God. It wasn't fun when he messaged me and completely rebuked me. I went from feeling like I'm this big, funny jokester to feeling about this tall. I thought, like, I don't ever want to show my face back in that ministry. I just want to crawl up under the sheets, hide my face, and cry and never go back. It wasn't fun. But God had to knock some rough edges off my life. And I learned something extremely valuable that day when Pastor Todd wrote me that message and rebuked me for insinuating that everybody was trash. I learned it's better to just think twice about what you're going to post on social media. It's better to think twice about what you're going to say to somebody, even if you think it's really funny. It's better to just, I'm not really sure how this will be perceived. I'm not sure if people will understand what my point is. You're just better off not saying it. So the Lord, through a process, through training, will knock some of your rough edges off in order to mature you into the things of God. And I believe that every single person that's here tonight, and you're here because you feel called to Bible school, that if you really want to be successful, even if you're not even going for full-time ministry, but you just want to become a leader, you just want to grow in the things of God, you just want to allow God to move in your life, you want to have a greater understanding of God's Word, that really, I mean, going to Bible school is one of the biggest keys to becoming a successful Christian. Let me just go off on a tangent here for a minute. I'm being successful. Now, granted, you can do your own Bible school at home, and everybody says they're going to. Just like everybody that stays home from church on Sunday says they're home watching Joyce Meyer or whatever. But we know what they're really doing. They got a bowl of Cheerios or Frosted Flakes. They got their Cheetos, the Puff, not, you know, well, whatever. Whatever kind of Cheeto you like. I mean, you're just sitting, you're not really focused. You're not like pressing in. You're not thinking like, all right, like, let's just receive everything that we can from this service this morning. You're just like kicked back, relaxed. You're flipping through Instagram and you got some preaching on in the background. You know, and so going through Bible school, it's a way that you become successful. Because it goes beyond even just actually attending a service on Sunday morning, but it goes into training Monday night, Tuesday night, 2.5 hours a week. You're taking an additional 5 hours of your week, plus whatever travel time it takes to get here, plus however you have to arrange accommodations. It's a big commitment. I understand it's a commitment for people to come to Bible school, but you will become spiritually mature. You will have treasure in heaven. You will see that your relationship with God will go to the next level. You see, when I went to Bible school, I did a lot of stupid stuff, as I just testified to all of those dumb things that I did. But I'm telling you, by the time I graduated, I wasn't doing as many dumb things. There was still moments where I was less bright than the rest. There were still moments where I did things that I shouldn't do. But I'm telling you, the Lord was working on me during that time. And the Lord was training me. The Lord was maturing me. And the Lord was working on my life. And the Lord was showing me from His Word the scriptures that I could use, that I knew that I could use to become successful based on God's Word. Not based on what anybody else said about me, not based on my talents, not based on my skill, but based on what I knew that God had told me from His Word. You see, we're not here and we're not doing a Bible school just to waste another two nights of your week. There's plenty of other things that we could be doing Monday and Tuesday nights, and you all as well. But those of you that say that I want to see God move in my life, I want to know Him in a greater way, I want to become more successful, I promise you, as you surrender and as you come and as you submit yourself and you say, God, whatever it is that you want to do in my life, do it. When you come for that extra time, you'll find out as you press in more and more and as you put yourself in a position where God can speak to your life, those are the times where God begins to use you more and more. So many people say, God, I want to be used by you. So many people say, God, I want to know you more. So many people answer an altar call for those very things. They walk forward and they have someone pray for them. But then so few actually back up those commitments with actual action, with actually applying yourself to something. And like I said, you can do Bible school at home. You can, you know, study the Word at home. But you know there's a difference when you actually come and you actually sit under the anointing and you're actually taught in the room. Even if you go home tonight and you listen to a recording like the one we're putting on right now. Like the one we're recording right now. You can listen to this message later. It's not the same for the people that are going to listen to this recording as it is for those of you that are sitting in this room. It's different. And to get the most out of something, I mean, like, you know, in class, to get the most out of something, you sit on the front row, you eliminate distractions. It's about eliminating distractions and putting yourself in an environment where you can grow. Amen? And that's what we desire. We desire for spiritual growth in the lives of every single person that comes to this church. And if you come on Sunday mornings, you're going to grow. And if you come on Wednesday nights, you're going to grow. But for those of you that have determined that you want to grow even more, you come on Monday nights and Tuesday nights to Bible school. And if you're wondering, like, what is the workload going to be like with Bible school, it's really not that difficult. It's not like when you go to, you know, RIT or Rochester Institute, or what is the other one? U of R. It's not like that. We're not going to load you up with tons of homework and send you home with 3 hours of, like, course studies that you have to do. We keep that pretty much to a minimum. Because honestly, one of the greatest things that I experienced in Bible school was it wasn't head knowledge that got me further in the things of God. Lots of people have head knowledge, and I'm going to get to that here in just a second. Lots of people have head knowledge, even can quote the scriptures, but they're missing it here. Here is where you get it. The work that God does here in your inner man is what matters. Because, you know, I mean, like, if you want to get a Bible degree, you can just go online, take a few tests, get past the exams, do some studies, and you can become a doctor of whatever. Doctor of Divinity, Master's in Theology. You can get all of that. But if you don't have it here, this is where it matters. This is where it matters that you allow God to impact you in your innermost being. That when you get up to minister, it isn't just a bunch of head knowledge coming out, but that you've had an encounter with God. Amen? Because people are sick of bogus, fake Christianity. They want to know what's real. They want to know what's true. And they want to see their lives touched and changed. People have been manipulated and lied to by church after church all around the world. They've been told, you know, if you come and, you know, you do this and you do that, then you'll go to heaven. And they do this and they do that and they feel just as bad as they did ever before. And there's no power in their prayers and there's no power in their teaching. But when you allow God to impact you and you allow Him to touch your life, when you speak, your words have a heavy impact on people's lives. And they'll say, there's something different when that man or when that woman spoke to me. I don't understand it. That guy, he wasn't the smartest dude, but there was something about what he said that struck me right here. Because I promise you this, the reason that you got saved is not because someone went through a doctrinal study and taught you the complexities of what actually took place on the cross of Christ, on the cross of Calvary when Jesus died for you, and they diagnosed and they could explain from the original Greek and the original Hebrew. And those things help illustrate things. But what really happened was when someone told you about Jesus and what He's done for you, it began to quicken your spirit right here, and you recognize there's something. I don't understand what it is, but there's something true about what this person is saying about God, and I want to know what that is. Amen? So our Bible school is really to train you and to mature you greater into the things of God. Our first quarter, our classes are spiritual growth, submission and authority, and soul winning. Our second quarter is new creation realities, helps, matters of the heart. Third quarter, authority of the believer, New Testament survey, Christ the healer. Fourth quarter, Christian lifestyle, Old Testament survey, and worship as a lifestyle. I'm telling you, by the time that you're done going through each and every one of these courses, your life will be different. It's impossible to sit through these classes and your life not change unless you just sit there and completely space out and nap during class, which then, hey, we'll just ask you to leave. But I'm telling you, you'll go to the next level. You'll be like a Holy Ghost Tim Tebow. I don't know if he's that great, but I heard he was. You'll be like Joanna Gaines in the spirit. I know we got mostly ladies here. They probably appreciate more the Joanna Gaines reference. My wife tells me she's cool. But you know, you don't get to paint that good unless you went to Bible school. You don't understand the color palettes like she did unless you know the Bible. Am I right? You're the one that told me that. You don't get that good at football like Tim Tebow. I've heard he was good, unless you went to Bible school. I'm just kidding. But I'm telling you, when you're through here, when you've been trained in the things of God, you won't be the same. You will be a mature Christian believer. Let's keep reading here in chapter 6 and verse 1. So let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. This is the goal. This is what Bible school is going to be. It's about leaving the basics behind and becoming mature in our understanding. Surely we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting from evil deeds and placing our faith in God. You don't need further instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And so, God willing, we will move forward to further understanding. You see, many people will never move forward into greater understanding because they've never actually mastered the fundamentals. So actually, the first thing that we're going to do is we're going to master the fundamentals. We're going to go through the basics, spiritual growth, submission and authority, soul winning. These are fundamentals. And we're going to move on into deeper and greater truths of God's word as we grow. Amen? But if you want to go forward with God, you have to master the basics. Now, Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, it says this, in the New Living Translation, don't copy the behavior and the customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. I'm going to read that again. that part. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Or renewing your mind. You see, if you want to do something big for the kingdom of God, regardless of whether it's in full-time ministry or not, you are going to have your mind renewed. If you look at where Paul addresses the struggle in most Christians' lives, he addresses their thought life. This is where most people struggle because they haven't had their mind renewed to the Word of God. I share with you, everybody has crazy thoughts. I get crazy thoughts. But it's learning how to take those thoughts into subjection according to God's word and say, look, I understand that this thought is coming to my mind, but I resist it. I resist the devil. And when I resist him, he has to flee. I take every thought captive and bring it subject to the knowledge of Christ. Because the Bible talks, even Paul, he's writing over and over again. I won't go through all the scriptures tonight, but over and over again, he addresses that the battlefield is really in your mind. It's in your thought life. That's where you get stopped. Because you allow thoughts of doubt to stop your faith. What is it that causes the unbeliever not to come forward to give his life to Jesus? Most of the time, it's doubt. It's, I don't believe that that is true. What causes you to not go forward and become more successful than you already are? It's doubt, and we doubt that God can actually do what he said he can do. We believe that Jesus did it, but we don't think that we can do it. And we are going to go through these courses and see that your mind is renewed to the Word of God, so that you believe in God's word, so that you know that you have authority, so that you know that no power of the devil, no power of the enemy can by any means harm you. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe your life will be totally transformed by the time you graduate Bible school here. That verse that I was just talking about is 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5. It says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I'm going to read one last verse, and then we're going to close. Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 6. It says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught. You see, we need to be rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in thanksgiving. And it goes on to say here in verse 8, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. You see, there are people that will try to cheat your life by teaching you the things of this world. It says, by the traditions of men and by the powers of this world. You see, there's powers in this world, there's demonic forces, there's human wisdom, there's carnal knowledge, and this is what religion tries to do. It tries to put that on you. But what God wants to do is he wants to fill you with spiritual wisdom. You know, when Paul was converted, it doesn't say that he had to do all of this studying. You see, Paul was different. He had already studied years and years of in the Word of God. As the Pharisee, they had to know the Word that they had backwards and forwards. They had to know every word of the Old Testament. So he didn't actually have to go to school to learn the Bible. He already knew it. But he didn't have any power, any spiritual authority in his life until he says that he had the revelation of Jesus. You see, the revelation of Jesus is what makes the difference. If you were to just read this book religiously, and you know, it has nice words and there's nice principles that we can learn from it. You know, secular people can, unbelievers can even read this book and learn things from it. But when you have a revelation of Jesus and who he is and that he becomes real to you, then you read this book and you realize the life and the power that comes out of it. And you can walk in power. You can walk in authority over every obstacle that comes in your life. You have been given all authority. You've been given authority over all the power of the enemy. Amen? God wants you to be victorious. God has a plan for you to be victorious. However, many people are not walking in victory because they've never completely given themselves to him. And they don't even understand why that is. They're like Paul wrote, that they're spiritually dull. And they have to keep going over the basics. They're not mature. You know, I like a nice big steak, right? Juicy, cooked, medium rare. I don't get too fancy with it. I don't need all kinds of sauces. A little bit of salt will do me just fine. I like the meat of God's word. You know, if I went to dinner tonight and I sat down at a steakhouse and they bring me a menu, and on the menu is just like, it says milk. I would be so mad at them. I'd be like, what are you talking about? Where's my menu? I don't want milk. I want some meat. I came to a steakhouse because I want some steak. But you don't start out in this world eating steak. You start out in this world drinking milk. And so it's not wrong if you're at a stage in life where you're just starting to drink some milk and you're starting to get the basics down. There's nothing wrong with that. There's a time frame for it. There's a time when babies should drink milk. You give a little 1 month old baby some steak to chew on and they're probably going to choke. But there comes a time then, 20 years later, if all they want to do is drink mommy's milk, there's something wrong with that, right? They should be eating some steak by that point. And my desire is that you can grow up into maturity and eat the meat of God's word. And if you're at the point right now where you're just getting started, well, make sure you're drinking the milk. Start with the milk of God's word. Start with coming into his presence. Start with committing your life to God and serving him fully. But there's only one direction that pleases God, and that is moving forward. He wants to see progress in your life. He wants to see you making a difference in this world, not just staying where you're at. Too many people are just coasting. Too many people are just staying where they're at. God wants to see you moving forward, and I believe that you will move forward. I believe that God has called you to make a difference in your family, that God has called you to make a difference in every single place that you set your foot. At work, at home, at school, wherever you are, your life is meant to make a difference. I'm gonna pick on Brandy here for just a second. She recently just started coming to church and committed her life to God here. And you know, she asked someone to pray with her because her grandma, is it okay if I share this? Should have asked beforehand. Her grandma was ill and was about to pass away, and so she asked someone from the church, you know, hey, can you pray for me? And the person, it was Ginny, she gives her the gospel script and says, look, you can go pray with your grandma. Isn't that right? And she did. She went and she prayed the sinner's prayer for her grandma to receive Jesus. And her grandma prayed right before she passed into eternity to receive Jesus. How precious is that? Think about that. The devil thought he had her. Moments away from dying and going into eternity, Brandy comes and says, I want to pray with you. Will you pray this prayer with me? And she prays. And now she can spend an eternity even though it was in the last moments of her life, those last moments are going to cause her to spend an eternity in heaven. Amen? God wants you to make a difference in your life and in your family and in the people around you. You know, and that is going to make a difference in her entire family. You know, they asked if I would minister at the funeral, which I'm happy to do because, you know, I can tell them that your grandma, your mother, she's dancing on streets paved with gold. She doesn't have to be tormented, but in her final hours, in her final days, she gave her life to Jesus, and you can too. Brandy hasn't gone to Bible school yet. Brandy just started coming here, and she's making a difference in people's life. And when Ginny, you know, I mean, rather than saying like, hey, you know, like, hey, that's a pretty bummer deal. I feel sorry for you. Lord bless grandma. Have a good night. She says, no, you can make a difference. You can pray. What if you hadn't done that? Where would grandma be tonight? We don't know. But tonight we know. We know. God wants to use you. God will use you. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your anointing. I thank you for your power. I thank you for your plan for each and every single one of these people. I thank you that you've called them to walk in dominion. I thank you that you've called them to walk in spiritual authority. I thank you that you've called them to make a difference. I thank you that you have a plan of success for them, to give them hope and a future. I thank you that they're going to make a difference in their lives, in the lives of their families, in the lives of their colleagues and their coworkers, in the lives of their friends. And everyone that comes across their path, Lord, I thank you that they will recognize that there is something different about these individuals who have committed themselves into becoming mature believers, growing up in the things of God, no longer just drinking spiritual milk, but even moving on to greater things, moving on for more, reaching out, pressing towards the mark of the high calling, running the heavenly race, pressing forward, pressing onward towards what you have called them to do, towards victory, towards walking in your power, towards walking in your anointing, to go out and to lay hands on the sick and see them recover, to preach the gospel and see people saved, to pray in new tongues and to walk and to move in the gifts of the Spirit, to be used by you in a powerful way. Lord, I see your hand coming upon them, using them in a great way, shaking this region in the anointing, in the power of God. I thank you that it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by your Spirit. I thank you that it's by your anointing. Lord, I thank you that there will be a great awakening in this region, that the people of this church will be used by you to shake this region with the anointing of your presence, Lord. I thank you that it's your anointing that destroys every yoke of bondage. Hallelujah. And as we receive from you in this place and we go forward from here, we carry your anointing. I thank you that these people here tonight are carriers of your anointing, are carriers of your presence. Lord, I thank you for your presence in here tonight. I thank you for your power in here tonight. Lord, I thank you that you fill these vessels here tonight, even now, with your presence, with your anointing. God, I thank you that tonight you move in their hearts, that you move in their lives, that you stir them up on the inside. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That you stir them up on the inside to follow after you like they never have before. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, have you been blessed tonight? Hallelujah. I love receiving from God's word. Amen. Tomorrow night's going to be awesome. We have Pastor David Blair coming from Tampa, Florida. He's going to be here ministering. Make sure you invite somebody. Bring a friend out. Hallelujah. Right before we go tonight, we're going to give everybody an opportunity to give into the ministry here. Last night I was sharing from that verse in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 that says, "And God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that and that only will he reap." And I began to share some of the testimonies that came from me being generous when I went to Bible school, when really, you know, in the natural, I should have held on to the money because I'm going through college, I got a lot of bills to pay, I got to hold on to it. And I was sharing how after I sowed generously into God's kingdom and sowed into, you know, my friends' lives and was taking care of other people's needs, God began to meet my needs. God, I never lacked for a job. I never lacked for a provision. And even when I didn't know how things were going to work out, you know, going into the third year of Bible school, it's a full-time internship where you're not even allowed to work a job, but you still have to believe God for your income, for your provision, for your housing, for your rent, for your bills, everything that costs money. You still have to believe God for all of that. And I believe it was because of the seeds that I had sown when I was even first coming to Bible school that carried me through those years, because in my third year of Bible school, actually, it was during my second year of Bible school that someone said, "Hey, you know, I want you to come live with us." And they allowed us to stay, my brother and I, in a house to ourselves, completely free for 2 or 3 years that we lived there that we never had to pay rent. God totally provided. You know, I've shared here that I had bought a car and, you know, I made a bad decision with that and the transmission went on it and I sold it and, you know, was able to not go into debt, thankfully. But I was without a car. And then this same couple that provided me with a house then said, "You know what? We have this car that's not being used. We want to give you this car." I'm telling you, when you just trust God and you begin to meet other people's needs, when God sees a need that you have, He's going to look for someone to meet your need. He's going to send the provision to meet your need. But it all comes in walking in obedience and taking a step of faith and giving into God's kingdom and being generous with Him. You know, Marika was even sharing with me after the service about a need that she was believing for to be met. And she sowed a seed. And then I believe she said that she never had, you know, she was paying for her Bible school. And it was the next day she had an opportunity where she was able to take a position in the ministry and then never had to pay for Bible school again. When you do something, you know, sometimes you don't even recognize what your seed does for you, because if you're like me, you think, "Well, I put an offering into the basket and now I'm expecting a check in the mail or somebody to walk up with $500 cash," and you think that that's the way that the blessing has to come. But then you might not even take into consideration, like happened to me and to Marika, that there's all these other things that you don't have to pay for when you're blessed. I didn't have to pay rent for 2 years. I didn't have to buy that new car. There was a lot of things that you don't have to pay for when you're a believer, because you're blessed and because you're generous and because you put God's kingdom first. So don't even think that, you know, well I sowed and I didn't never saw, you know, a check come in the mail for me, or I never had someone walk up and put cash in my hand. Count your blessings. I guarantee if you would just look at your life and see the things that you don't have to pay for, it will add up to a significant amount of money. Think about it. If you grow up, you know, just living a godly lifestyle, I believe that, you know, you won't have to pay a divorce attorney. I believe that you won't have to pay child support. I believe that you won't have to pay the bail bondsman. I believe that you won't have to pay for your kids to get out of jail. I believe that you won't have to pay for these things. You won't have to pay, for medical bills, because you can believe God for supernatural healing. There is so much blessing that comes when you just live according to the way that God says live. Amen? So let's sow generously into God's kingdom tonight. If you have your offering ready, hold it in your hand and let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that every seed that is sown here tonight is blessed, that it produces a harvest. God, I thank you that supernatural favor of financial provision comes on them. I thank you that you eliminate bills that they were supposed to pay that they won't have to pay. God, I thank you for your blessing coming on them. I thank you for houses being paid off, cars being paid off, debts being eliminated. I thank you for financial provision coming in ways that they never even would have thought possible in Jesus' mighty name. And if you believe that, say amen. You know, I'll tell you one more right before you bring it up. You know, I went while I was down there, I don't know what happened. I was hanging out with some people, probably shouldn't have been hanging out with them, and I passed out. The weirdest thing ever. Like, I don't even know what it was, but I just passed out right at the dinner table, and they took me to the hospital. And I went to the hospital, and I was like 19 years old, and I didn't have health insurance because I moved down to Florida. I got off my parents' health insurance, and I didn't have my own, didn't want to pay for my own. So I went to the hospital, and I just thought, hey, these people are nice, fixed me up great. Had no clue what happened to me. They never told me why I passed out. They took my urine, and they took my blood, and they took everything else. They took all my stuff, but they never told me what the problem was. They're like, yeah, we don't know what the problem was, but here you go, in the mail, $5,000 bill. Great, right? But like, I was like, God, I don't believe that I have to pay for this. And the Lord worked it out. Like, I went and I talked to the hospital, and like, I just filled out a paper. And at this time, I knew some people in the medical field that said like they weren't being too generous with grants, but they just wrote off my complete expenses. I think I ended up on that $5,000 bill having to pay like $50. I'm telling you, there's things that you won't have to pay for when you walk in the blessing. Amen?
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.